fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami.
And we're on, and this is a victory Monday, 3 yards per carry. We're going to recap Jaguars, Dolphins. But first, as always, the show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards. And you make a $5 play and you get $50. You heard correctly. That is the promotion. I don't know of any other promotion out there where they're just handing you $50 for making a $5 play. Now, if you open up a Prize Picks account, obviously, you're going to make a play, right? So if you make a play for $5, you get $50. It's as simple as that. Remember to use our promo code. That's the number 3 yards. By the way, we also have a free cheetah t-shirt now on our store. You could check it out. Hashtag free cheetah. And if you want to do that, you go to onlyfans.printify.me/products. Of course, if you want to become a member of our Discord, you go to discord.gg/onlyfans. All right. Now, I don't think that we're going to spend, you know, half an hour here, playing junior G-men, but we're going to talk a little bit about this. Look, I don't know what you may think of what happened with Tyreek before this game, but Jeff Darlington must be banned from all quarters from now on, because I will tell you this, okay? If I ever see that man out in public, I'm walking the other way. He started covering golf, and the first event he covers, the number one player in the world, gets arrested unjustly, by the way. And then, of course, he does the first game of the NFL season for the Miami Dolphins, and Tyreek gets arrested. And who is on the spot both times? Jeff Darlington. So he may be a great guy, but the man's a menace. Any comments on what happened before the game? Because we were on OnlyFans, okay, and we were listening to why, and we're like, okay, are people trolling us all of a sudden on a game day? We didn't know what to expect on OnlyFans. We don't know if people showed up and decided, you know, let's troll with this. And I'm like, if that's a Photoshop, that's a pretty damn good one. That looks like Tyreek. That looks like his McLaren.
Yeah, I got somebody texting me that, and it's like, please tell me this isn't real. And it was about 10:30 a.m., I think. And,
by the way, I give ESPN, and I'll let you go on this. I'll open the floor for you right here. I got to give ESPN a lot of credit. And if I'm going to bag on them and I'm going to, you know, shit talk them all the time, I'm going to have to give them credit when it's due. They had a great day on Sunday, and they also had the best throw to an expert opinion that I've ever seen on sports television. You ready for this, Chris?
Go ahead.
after the Tyreek thing broke, they said, and we're going to throw it to somebody that knows a little bit about a little something about this. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, so they got a legal expert on hand. No, they threw it to Randy Moss, and Randy Moss says, I too got arrested before a game before we played the Seattle Seahawks. So they even had a guy for that. All right.
Wow.
Yes. So they had a guy, an expert in getting arrested the day of a game. Randy Moss evidently got arrested in a game before they played the Seahawks. He was able to make it to the game. So anyway,
that's insane.
Is that great or what? Is that a great, they had an expert opinion on that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's by the way, he said that he couldn't play that day, that he was completely distracted and he actually steered fantasy players the wrong way because he kept saying, I can't see how Tyreek Hill is going to have his head in the game. Sure enough, 130 yards, 80-yard touchdown, the longest of his career.
Yeah, I think most of us kind of like suspected that Tyreek Hill was going to play quite angry and focused. I don't know. I guess the whole what a long day for everybody. It was just something that's really bizarre that I cannot even still imagine it happening. And even though it did happen and we saw it unfold and everything, but it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill is an adventure and we know that in so many ways. But in this case, you know, hearing afterwards, I mean, and I don't want to go get too far into it and speak on things that, you know, frankly, I don't know about. You know, hearing afterwards that it wasn't just Tyreek Hill, that Calais Campbell was also handcuffed and kind of knowing Calais Campbell's reputation around the league and his history.
He was NFL Man of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of like, I'm sorry, but you lost a little bit. You lost a lot of your benefit of the doubt, I think, when you see that happening. At that point, I think it's pretty fair for the fan base at large, you know. And I know we live in a kind of a society where it's like, you know, if you think one way, and then something happens, you're going to be like, oh, we have to wait for the facts to come out. You know, we have to, and you hide behind that shield a little bit. And if you think the other way, then, you know, maybe you don't wait for the facts to come out, or, you know, probably just depends on the nature of the incident. In this case, you know, I think we've got enough. I think we've got enough to say that something untoward and unnecessary happened here. And so, you know, I think that a lot of people are rightly very upset. And you're seeing the battle of the statements coming out afterwards, you know, because Tyreek Hill's legal team has already issued a statement or issued a letter. And so has the Miami-Dade Police Association union, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the police union tried to, you know, get some details out there. Not very many details, just, you know.
Although, to be fair, police unions are notorious. They'll defend anything. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And they tried to immediately, you know, cast aspersions on Tyreek Hill, say that he was uncooperative, say that he was not following orders and stuff like that. And Tyreek's legal team wasn't having it. And they issued a letter saying that, no, this basically all happened because the police officer in question didn't like that after Tyreek Hill gave his license and all that, that he rolled the window back up. And so they asked him to roll the window back down, and he rolled the window down a little, and they just weren't very happy with that situation. And then, you know, of course, hearing afterwards, hearing Calais Campbell's account of things and hearing about, you know, Tyreek saying to Jonnu Smith, you know, Jonnu, don't leave me.
Don't leave. Odell Beckham was also on the scene. And
yeah, Odell Beckham kind of came late come and was just like, WTF. And somehow I think that that's like a, somehow I think that that's like emblematic of our experience with Odell Beckham so far. But anyway, you know, Calais Campbell's accounts of things, he's talking about, you know, how he just mainly, he's been taught, be there, you know, don't walk away from it, be there, you know, keep eyes on things, make sure that your friend is okay. And I think that is the right thing to do. And clearly they were not happy with that, because he was like, I will step back. If you ask me to step back, I will, you know, if my car needs to get towed, my car will get towed, but I'm not leaving this, you know, I'm not leaving this situation where my friend is in this distressed position. And they didn't like that, so they handcuffed him. And that, I think, is and that, I think, tells you everything that you need to know about the quality of the people involved on that side. And so I think that, you know, we are rightly upset about this. Or a lot of people are rightly upset about this.
Yeah,
Miami Dolphins fans are upset because it's a Miami Dolphins player, I'm sure, but.
Yeah,
a lot of people are upset for other reasons that are probably very right reasons.
Yeah, and to be clear on this, and I think this should be the last thing we say on this, because we got to talk about this game, which was very interesting, is where he got arrested. This lane is preserved only for stadium personnel, players, coaches, and officials of the NFL. The cops know who is going to be driving in that lane. If he's driving fast, okay, and you must stop him, you know who you are stopping. You are stopping an official for this game, a player. First of all, he has a McLaren, okay? All right? And then if you're going to – if you're, your defense is going to be, I don't think that this 5'9", 185-pound guy is an NFL player, and I was completely confused on who this was. Then the 6'8", 310-pound guy and another expensive car – should have given you a clue, okay? Okay, so there is some common sense to be exercised here, and in my opinion, the police exercised none.
Yeah, and they, I mean, it's just, and keeping in mind that, you know, Calais Campbell and Tyreek Hill, I think both kind of acknowledged that there was one particular person who was agitated in this situation. And then others who seemed largely reasonable, and so, you know, that one person has been put on administrative duties, not administrative leave. I thought, you know, I think that there's been kind of a confusion there, but, to me, being put administrative duties just means that he's behind the desk for now. But yeah, so yeah, they'll investigate. But I think that at the end of the day, I have my doubts about whether we're going to come out with an outcome that everybody's going to be happy with.
Yeah, it'll be one of those things. Unless, you know, if Tyreek is insistent on, you know, taking this to the nth degree and suing all the way.
Well, it won't be just be Tyreek. I mean, keeping in mind that that. You know, and I saw somebody pointing this out. I forget who it was, whether it was Adam Beasley or somebody else. But, you know, Steve Ross pays for the police detail and security, I think. I think he contributes for these games, because there's obviously extra police detail for NFL games and such. And you know, the NFL helps fund that. So yeah.
And they closed that one lane around 27th Avenue and 199th. That lane is completely closed, and that lane belongs to the police and the players.
and the players, and the, you know, it's NFL personnel.
It's so if it's time. so if I'm a douchebag driving really fast in that lane, I could expect my ass to get kicked. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Because I'm, first of all, I'm not supposed to be in there, and second of all, okay, I'm committing an infraction. Okay. So obviously this escalated because somebody decided it needed to be escalated. Somebody was agitated for whatever reason. And I guess those facts will come out later on in time. I hope that Tyreek lawyers up and pushes this, because something has to change as far as, especially in that regard, especially with the security around that stadium. I'm not coming down the mountain with the tablets here telling you that the cops around that stadium, especially for games, okay?
Right.
And I understand you're dealing with 70,000 drunk people. Okay, that's great. All right? Still, there is a way to handle these things, okay? And that was not it. All right, let's move on. Man, they really played like crap in that first half. Chris, woof. Yeah, I was sitting there and I was watching this and I'm like, well, they're going to snap out of it eventually. Are they?
Yeah, that was a little rough. It was, and actually, I want credit for the reverse jinx, because at a certain time, and this was not in the first half, this was in the second half, and it was just before Javon Holland punched that ball out. I texted a friend, and they were driving. Miami's down 10 points, and I just said the route is on. You know, like, this is turning into a rout, and that Mike Tyson punch of the ball just turned it all, you know, followed by, and I don't want to understate this, because it wasn't a one play thing. Easily one play could have just been one play, right? If you don't follow it up, and you make one play, you punch that ball out, you get it back. If you go three and out, then the route is still on. You know, so that two play sequence, they punch the ball out, and then Tua decides, you know, according to him in a press conference afterwards, you know, decides to skip a read. And it was it looked like an RPO. He had a guy in a flat. He had a guy in a flat. And he had Jaylen Wall running a run to daylight or a glance route that was actually open. And Tua just admits that he skipped the read because he wanted to wait for Tyreek Hill to pop open, you know, running essentially east to west across the entire width of the field against his coverage, because, you know, you can't stay with him for that length of runway. And Tua skipped his read and said, I'm going to hit Tyreek Hill right here. And he did. And that went for an 80-yard touchdown. And that right there, but those two plays are, you can't say enough about those two plays in terms of, that's the kind of, not just high level, but even next level above that, the kind of plays that make championships. And so,
that was their pet play. Where, and I put a video on this in our vetted room, and if you want to find out what the vetted room is, you got to become a member of our Discord and then find out what that vetted room is, right? I put a video on this where that's their glance flat wheel combination. Yep. But they put in an over route on the opposite side of the formation, okay, which is a wrinkle for this season, and sure, they ran it twice in this game and hit it twice in this game. And I think Tua was thinking to himself, you know what? Last time we ran it and we faked the glance flat combination, I gave it a hitch and one more count, and I hit the deep over to Waddle. What if it's open now with Tyreek? And I think that that's what he was thinking. And sure enough, there's Tyreek. And he hits Tyreek, and Tyreek's gone for an 80-yard touchdown. That's a wrinkle that Mike McDaniel put in this offseason. Obviously, he was just not, you know, getting a new look and new sunglasses and new shoes. Like, he decided, you know what, our little pet play. And if you watch the play, man, it's a thing of beauty watching the Jaguars just fixate on that glance route and on the flat route, mm-hmm, and not understand that the best wide receiver in the world is running right behind them unimpeded.
Yep.
You know,
and that's an important wrinkle that, you know, obviously helped them win the game offensively. But there are some others. I mean, there are some important innovations. I don't know if it's innovations so much as decisions during the game. And one of the ones that I would focus on is, you know, the use of their 22 personnel, which is two running backs with especially two running backs, including Alec Ingold as a fullback, two running backs, two tight ends. And the use of that was wildly successful, particularly in the second half. I think they only used it like three times in the first half, but then they used it another like 10 times in the second half. And you have to see that within the first off, it was, I think they ran the fullback dive off of that personnel look three times. One of them was called back on kind of a late whistle false start. That was going to work too. So, you know, innovations in short have manifested in short yardage, which made them a lot more successful in short yardage than we are used to. So that's one positive. But the second positive, just looking at it, you know, there was a screen pass on the goal line that worked really well. I swear Devon Achan actually scored on that play. I don't know why. Yes. The officials didn't review it. You know, that was successful. There was a pass play that was batted down. I think it was I think it was Josh Hines-Allen that kind of came into Tua off the play fake and batted the pass down. But otherwise, Tua was trying to hit a wide open Alec Ingold, you know, coming out to the right side of toward the right sideline. If you would have been able to connect on that, that was going to be a pretty big gain. Especially it was kind of a variant of the old John Gruden spider 2Y banana thing, a concept, and except Mike McDaniel always changes a number of things with his plays because he likes he likes to go for more favorable spacing, more favorable alignment. Or confuse the defense with a little bit different alignment, but also, you know, his alignments are very intentional for better spacing. But then also, like, he tends to like to drop superfluous aspects of a play design. Like, you know, okay, yeah, we've got this route and this route, but we ain't really hitting these routes. So we're going to do something different. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have this be more like a blocking route. And you know, where you're basically not really running to get open. You're just running to get down the field and waiting for the guy to get the ball and then start blocking your ass off. So I think that play would have hit nicely. But then, in other words, you're looking at, you know, when people are talking about Jeff Wilson's running at the end, what was the context for Jeff Wilson getting going at the end, running the ball, those 14 yard gains, the 6 yard gains, you know, there's a 7 yard gain earlier. It was in this 22 personnel and they used that. And I think you see that within a broader context, because a lot of this is about trying to reverse engineer the other team's rules as you go through the game. And what I mean by that is, when are they going to put nickel personnel out there? When are they going to put dime personnel out there? When are they going to put base personnel out there? Base personnel with, you know, like three linebackers out there. You know, when are they going to do that? Because, you know, if you're a defense and you're trying to cover Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, that's hard. So the more defensive backs you can get out there, the better. Right. You're going to put as many defensive backs out there as you are allowed to put out there. Like, you know, so Miami might come out there with, say, 12 or 21 personnel, which we think of as normally being an offensive personnel that would be met with base personnel. Right. Like the 4-3 or the 3-4, something like that. But if you're facing Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, you might be like, nah. You know, I want five defensive backs out there at all times. And you know what's better than five defensive backs? Six defensive backs. Mm-hmm. So So, you know, they're going to look for excuses to get extra defensive backs out there. But what if you're Miami and you're like, yeah, but I really want to exploit your base personnel. I really want you to have three linebackers out there, because I think I can do things with my matchups against that. And so you're trying to reverse engineer that and decode that during the game. Are they going to go base personnel because I put out Alec Ingold and 21 personnel? Oh, nope, they didn't. Okay. Are they going to go base personnel, you know, because I put 12 personnel out there with Julian Hill and Durham Smythe? Oh, nope, they didn't do that either. Well, what if I take Tyreek Hill off the field? Oh, here they go. They're in base personnel now, you know, like, so one of the rules that the Jags had is if Tyreek Hill was going to be on the field, unless it was on the goal line, you know, goal line being, you know, there are a couple of goal line plays, like, you know, on the 3 yard line or the 4 yard line, something like that. If Tyreek Hill was on the field, they were not going to put out base, period. You know, and they were that scared of Tyreek Hill. So, but it takes a little bit of time and experimentation through the game to figure that out. And so one of the ways that the Dolphins ended up deciding to exploit that during the game was, okay, well, you know, what's one of the things that we can do offensively that doesn't have Tyreek Hill out on the field? Well, we can run the ball down your throat with 22 personnel. Even if Tyreek Hill is off the field, and that's exactly what they did, and that played a very key part in that second half, which was a lot more successful for the Dolphins' offense than it was in the first half.
Yeah, and I think we could finish up here with this on well, two parts. First of all, the run game, it seemed to me like a team that had only played five snaps together as a starting offense without Tyreek Hill, without Jalen Waddle, without Teron Armstead. Austin Jackson only played one quarter with Tua. Tua played five snaps. Jonnu Smith played five snaps with Tua. Aaron Brewer played no snaps. So it looked like an offense that was trying to orchestrate a new run game, and they just couldn't. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. Because if you look at the success that they had in the fourth quarter running the football, it was pretty simple boilerplate trap stuff, gap scheme stuff, you know, some dives. They ran belly twice on 3rd and 1, which is a sight to see, by the way. Okay, and they got 2 yards and they got 6 yards successfully. But they simplified the run game to all hell in the fourth quarter. I think we can leave that there. But on defense, man, I was completely wrong. I thought that we were going to get a guy that was going to have an itchy trigger finger because he was a rookie, for all intents and purposes, a rookie defensive coordinator. He trusted that front four to get to the quarterback. He trusted his four guys to get to the quarterback and played a lot of simple. And you wouldn't think that that would be the strategy against Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is a guy who's traditionally not done well against the blitz.
That's right.
He trusted his four guys. And he said, look, we're going to play a lot of cloud six, some cover six, some cover three, some quarters. By the way, quarters, Jordan Poyer, don't have him out there in quarters ever again. Okay, that's not his thing. All right. Some match man. And they said, you know what? Our four guys can beat your five guys up front, and we're going to trust them. And in my opinion, and I think we go to break on this, and you could have an opinion here as we go to break. They won the game. Like, if you're going to say one unit won the game for you, well, they pitched a shutout. They allowed your offense to score the 20 points total necessary to win the game. They shut them out for an entire half, kept them right at 17 points. They did nothing. 37 yards of offense in the second half. Okay? They did nothing in the second half. That was the pass rush. That was relentless, especially down the stretch. Last two plays ended up with sacks. So I would put the credit for the win on that pass rush.
Yeah, it was very up and down, and when you're talking about a tale of two halves on any unit, then you have to keep in mind both halves. You know, so as good as they were in the second half, you know, there was a drive that was fixing to be a backbreaker in that second half. Okay. With the Jags driving on them, or on the Dolphins. And I'm not going to say they got that we got lucky, because what Javon Holland did was absolutely not luck, right? Like, he, that was a very intentional punch on the football, and he timed it well, and like, he hit it perfectly. And, you know, so, but at the same time, you could see that Travis Etienne, you know, he saw Holland coming kind of out of the corner of his eye, just a fraction of a second too late. And he was trying to get that second hand on the football, before Javon Holland could punch it. And this is a game of inches and fractions of a second. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, he just was a fraction of a second late getting that second hand on the football before Javon Holland could punch that thing out of there. And I think that there was a bit of a tale of two halves with the defensively, but I think that they also have to own the first half and that second half drive, as well as the three and outs that they did, or that they got themselves off the field, and the pass rush success and stuff like that. And I thought that the blitzing was questionable, not just in the amount, considering Trevor Lawrence's struggles with the blitz, only six times, you know, the entire game. The blitzes were actually just, I didn't feel well designed either, and well coordinated. And so there was a lot of delayed blitzing. They were kind of, you know, you had guys that were blitzing from off ball, you know, positions, and just coming in late. It allowed the protection to get itself set, and then to play off of that once they got set. And so they actually were kind of ineffective. And and if you really look at those six plays, I would not say that Trevor Lawrence was bad against those blitz plays. I think that they did not necessarily execute. I think Christian Kirk dropped a ball. You know, some argue that he dropped two. There was one blitz that I liked that was very effective at the end. It was like basically, you know, kind of a zero. But yeah, so I think that it was questionable with some of that, the game plan that way, and the execution. Certainly some of the run fits were questionable. Although interestingly enough, on that play that Javon Holland popped the ball out, David Long, he didn't really miss a run fit. He was just outright held. And they missed it, but yeah. So anyway, I think that they do have to own that. We're not out of the woods on this defense yet. We still have to see how they're gonna play over the long haul.
Yeah, and I thought the officiating was god awful. They missed so much. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was not a hold on Tyreek, just because he gets his hand off the framework. Just like we were talking at the beginning of the show, that the cops have to use some common sense, the officials have to use some common sense as well. This is a 5'9", 185-pound man blocking a dude that is 6'7", 320 pounds in Arik Armstead.
And he used it. I mean, his hand was outside the frame, but he used his hand and his arm to strike, not to grab and hold.
Right.
You know, like it was more of a strike. He didn't grab anything and then hold on.
And that was a game-winning play, by the way, because if you think about it, that play maybe leads to a touchdown that basically ices it or runs out the clock and we're hitting a chippy, although, you know, Jason Sanders makes me nervous, unless it's a, you know, it's a game-winner.
Well, they had confidence. They had perfect confidence in him, and power to them for that.
All right, let's go to break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up with good, the bad, and some game balls. But first, these words. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. All right, I'll start off with the good. Man, I thought Aaron Brewer was fantastic in this game. I'm going to go ahead and give some flowers also to Javon Holland, man. I think you're going to have to pay this guy. I don't know where we're going to find the money, but we might have to pay this guy. He's pretty damn good. Okay. Keeps making plays. Like people kept asking, you know, make us a play, that's consequential, that wins you a game. Well, there it is. Okay. There's one.
I think just before you go on with your other goods, on the subject of Javon Holland, this was a signature performance for him, a signature game, I guess, that, you know, stack up your signature games. The other one probably being that comes to mind being the one where he had that, you know, 100-yard return or whatever. But he needs more of those. He needs more of them. If you want to be paid what he thinks he's going to get paid on market, as a safety. You need to be able to stack up like a fair number of these types of signature games in a season, like 5 of them or something like that. You know, like that's the standard. And so this was one of them. That's very encouraging.
Yeah. And I'll give you another good one. I thought Austin Jackson played well. He gave up a sack. Okay. But
yep.
If you watch him in the run game, he was active. There's one play where he hits three guys on an 11-yard run by Jeff Wilson. Physical in the run game. I thought even Liam Meichenberg had some moments when they were calling some of those very standard trap plays toward the end of the game. But my good was, man, Aaron Brewer was, I don't know if it's Aaron, by the way, or Aaron.
It's Aaron okay. Brewer.
Okay. Aaron Brewer was fantastic. And it's not that, oh, he was just as good as Connor Williams. No, he was fantastic. Okay. Yeah. He was moving people out of the way. Now, this wasn't Quinnen Williams that was in front of him.
Sure.
But I don't care. Okay. He went a long way to helping this team win. I thought he was fabulous. What else can you say about Devon Achan, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and the gang, Tua Tagovailoa? There's, you know, he's leading the league in passing, by the way, again.
Already.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to say anything else about that. Javon Holland, it's so obvious. And I'll leave my game balls for a couple other guys. I'll give you my bad, and then I'll give you the floor. My bad, okay. Robert Jones. Man, it didn't work out for him. All right. Isaiah Wynn watched this game somewhere and said, you know what? Maybe I'm starting when I come back. You know, I did not think Robert Jones was good in this game.
Yeah.
He had a couple of good blocks. He was bad in pass pro. He had a consequential penalty. I never like to see those penalties that you watch on the replay. You say, yep, there's no debate. And you look at it and you say, yeah, that's a penalty. Those are bad things. Those are bad things. Robert Jones, I thought, was bad in this game. Jalen Ramsey was a little bit out of position, but he made such a great play on that 4th-and-1 that you can't blame him. And he was a catalyst for this team. It's obvious that he was nursing something because he only played 38 snaps. Okay. He's a 50-snap guy in this game. All right. If he was completely healthy. So he's working his way back. Those are my goods. Those are my bads. Your goods and your bads. And then we'll go to game balls.
Well, we give the offensive line a lot of crap, right? And many, many times they deserve it. But they had three guys in this offensive line who were playing really good football. As you say, Aaron Brewer looked as good as you would have ever seen Connor Williams look last year, easily. I challenge anybody to show me that on tape. Now, as you said, you know, he doesn't have Vita Vea, you know, pushing him off the snap, right? But in this game, but he was phenomenal. Teron Armstead was, you know, he played, and he played well. And then Austin Jackson, as you suggest, I mean, the way that he fires off the ball and gets into his run blocks is really phenomenal, for this offense. So, you know, give those guys their flowers. And, you know, Liam Eichenberg was, you know, he had some ups and downs. Clearly we saw him give up the sack on the downside. And Austin Jackson gave up a sack as well. But keeping in mind that those were, I believe, third and long sacks. And, you know, sometimes bad things, sometimes you don't get into third and long for a reason. And that's something. But I think that two of the biggest plays involved Tua kind of sitting back there a little bit, waiting for something to pop open. And you can't really do that unless you have a pocket. And so, you know, I think that we're kind of burned and we're very sensitive toward the offensive line. So when they give up a sack, you know, then we immediately, and I do it too. But if I take a step back and look at this game objectively, this was not the game to go criticizing the offensive line. And so, because there were some good points there. I think obviously Tyreek Hill, just getting over what had happened earlier, and going out there and doing what he did, but that was phenomenal. Jalen Waddle, I was actually a little bit mad that he was called off of, you know, by the spotter to go get concussion tested, because I was like, you know, actually, I think he's on one. And I think I would look for that in future games too.
Because how the hell did he not score? I turned my back to the TV celebrating.
Yeah. I don't, that I don't know. It was on, was it Andre Sisco that caught him too?
Yeah, it was Andre Sisco.
And he must have had a hell of an angle, because Andre Sisco isn't even that fast. And that was, I don't know the answer to that one, because I know Andre Sisco, and he's not, I mean, he's got speed, but he doesn't have that speed. But hey, we must have had the angle, but whatever. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill both played well. Obviously, Devon Achane played well too. Tua, I thought, played really well. I mean, we sort of take for granted now that he's only going to truly miss a couple of throws a game. And he did. He truly missed a couple of throws.
The one that he missed to Tyreek, he had an excuse. He hurried the throw because he saw color. It was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, he was like,
that's true. That's true.
He was thinking, you know what? I'd rather be a count early than get smacked right in the face here. You know
what
I mean?
But you would think that you'd underthrow that because of that. But I don't know. Yeah, he did miss that one. He missed a few throws, and it's sort of like, okay, but all right, let's go through them. If you miss 12 throws or you have like 12 incompletions or whatever it was during the game, you know, how many of these were actually incomplete because Tua missed the throw? And it's still only like, it's like, if you can do it on more than one hand, I'll challenge you, you know, like, and it's crazy that just because he misses a couple of throws, we're like, you know, he's kind of average today or something like that. And it's like, that is not average. Trust me. We have seen average. You know, yes. those of us who have lived through the last 20 years.
I love how passer rating just became a passe you know, stat as soon as Tua got good at it, right? He had a 140 passer rating in the second half.
Sure. And as soon as Tua gets, you know, and we do that with everything. We raise the bar on everything. We raise the bar on passer rating, and it deserves nuance now. We raise the bar on you know, yardage, it deserves nuance now. We raise the bar on incompletions, like, you know, he missed these five throws today. And it's like, well, yeah, well, how many of the others miss? I've watched these others, and they commonly miss, you know, double digits.
Mahomes missed James. I almost called him James Worthy. That's another Hall of Famer. Xavier Worthy is a future Hall of Famer. Patrick Mahomes missed Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, how do you do that?
He missed the fourth touchdown. So it
anyway,
happens.
You know, Tua played pretty well, I thought overall. By the way, scrambled twice for first downs. One of them called back, you know. He didn't get the first down because of that holding, but it was called back.
This guy had over 3.5 yards rushing, by the way.
Yeah. Was that a thing?
Yeah, minus 110. I took it.
Did you hit
that?
That? Okay.
Yes, I hit that.
Yeah, I think it was 11 yards.
but that's three times the number.
But he scrambled twice, and one of them was called back. And people have said this, like, if he could just scramble for like two extra first downs per game, you know, that would make so much of a difference. People don't realize, and he kind of did that in this game. So then defensively. Listen, Jalen Phillips, coming back from the Achilles, this is your first game back, playing even a little bit more than they probably had in mind for him to play, pass rushing the way that he did in the second half. I mean, my God, what else can you say about that? Obviously, Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey played that first half like he should have been practicing this week. And I wonder why he wasn't. I'll leave it at that. So, you know, there's that. I thought that David Long was a bit up and down. There were some questionable run fits, but then also some like, wow, you really made that play. And sometimes linebackers just so hard that you really got to focus on the positive plays that they do make too. So I think that he deserves some flowers, even though he had a few mistakes. And then otherwise, you know, I think all the way around the defense handled a lot of their communication and the variability in what they called, and it was very like in what they called. This was not, you know, your grandfather's Dolphins defense that just keeps calling one thing over and over again. So handling that was pretty good, I thought. You know, kudos to them because this is a new defense. And so I don't want to understate that. You could have come up. Vic Fangio's defense came out and laid an egg in week one, right? Against the Chargers. They got embarrassed. And Vic Fangio even said it afterwards. He said, I came out with the entirely wrong game plan. And so, and I'm not saying that the defense out of the woods, as I said earlier, because there were issues, and I want to see how that plays out. But give them some credit. This was their first game in a new defense, and you know, nobody plays preseason anymore. So that to go out there and shut them down in the second half and do what they did, I mean, they do just deserve some credit for that.
All right, let's do the game balls. I'm going to be completely unoriginal. I'm going to give my game ball to Tyreek Hill. And I don't think that this one is really crazy, but I'm going to give one to Jake Bailey. Dolphin fans, like, you know, look, it is what it is. Dolphin fans every year look at the roster and say, who are we going to hate this year? And they pick out one or two players. Sometimes they pick three or four, depending on how good the team is. Jake Bailey has never been on the love list. Okay, let's just leave it at that.
He hasn't.
He was fabulous in this game. Woof.
Was.
Okay, he kept pinning them over and over. He kept pinning them back there over and over and over again. I thought he was absolutely great in this game and instrumental. Look, they give up two long drives. What if they don't? You know, maybe the game goes the other way. If the Dolphins get some short fields and get some touchdowns in the second half, maybe they win by a couple of touchdowns. And they would have had Jake Bailey to thank for that. Also, by pinning them, made them work a long way, made those touchdowns to get much, much harder. So, you know, I thought Jake Bailey was instrumental. So my two game balls, I'm gonna give out two. You can give as many as you want. I'm gonna give out
Sure.
two. Tyreek Hill, Jake Bailey. Who are your game balls?
I'm going to so one, I have to give the game balls to the men who went through what they went through before the game and then came back. And I'm not just talking about Tyreek Hill. Because Calais Campbell, we see on the videotape, he's there. He's trying to be calm, and he's getting arrested, and he's dealing with a cop who was really, sorry, I should say to listeners that during break, the body cam footage did come out, and so we've, you know, I've seen some of the body cam footage now. And both of those men had every reason to head into that game rattled. And what is the first thing Calais Campbell does in the game? You know,
A sack.
a sack and just, you know, makes two plays right in a row. So for the and Jonnu Smith was there too, but Calais Campbell was handcuffed, and so was Tyreek Hill. I mean, this is a very rattling thing that happened to these two.
Did
And to
Odell
go
Beckham get a game ball from you too, since he was
for
there,
like showing up
technically?
late in a jersey and being like, hey, WTF, man, what happened? You know, I don't know. But I will say that you know, Calais Campbell, Tyreek Hill, way to get over that situation and go out there and play professional ball like that. And then the other game ball I'm going to give is going to be the Jalen Phillips, because it wasn't the same situation for him at all in terms of the immediacy. But the last time he was on the field in a regular season game was had to be one of the most awful moments of his life, feeling that Achilles tendon just snap on him. And he went out there like an absolute boss, and he was one of the key reasons that we won the game, and that's incredible. that's incredible. That is a hell of a comeback. You know, right away from start. And you know what? For what it's worth, I looked at I reviewed some of this tape. He looked phenomenal.
Yes.
It wasn't just that he got sacks, you know, that at the right, you know, moment or the right circumstances, or he kind of lucked into them or something like that. No, he looked phenomenal out
there. He has a knack that really only TJ Watt is one of the guys that I see do this, because even Myles Garrett rarely runs the loop and retraces back to the quarterback. That's more of a smaller man thing. And that's saying something, because Jalen Phillips is not a small man. He's 265 pounds, 6'5".
That's right.
He runs the loop and retraces right back better than anybody, okay?
Yeah.
And that play that he made for that last sack, which essentially sealed the game, because you looked at that point of the game. You looked at your offense and you're like, our offense is going to get 40 yards here, you know, without trying, and they're going to kick the game-winning field goal. Like, this is going to happen for them.
Yep. And you know, Trevor Lawrence has said, I saw the post games and stuff like that, and Trevor Lawrence has said that, you know, he held the ball too long, and yeah, maybe he did, but it was Jalen Phillips who put him on an egg timer, and it's not like he held the ball for 5 seconds, you know, like, I mean, so Jalen Phillips played a phenomenal game, and to do that in your first game back, after the very last time we saw you with the lights on and you know, the game's mattering, the very last time we saw you, he went out there and felt that Achilles tendon.
And one week of practice, by the way.
1 week of practice.
Because in training camp, when he was activated, all he did was install stuff. And if you watch install stuff is like basically 50%.
And he didn't play. He didn't. What am I even talking? He probably didn't. He didn't play in the preseason, right? Did he?
None. No snaps.
None. No. Of course he didn't. So literally, the last time he was on a football field, was feeling that Achilles tendon snap. And if you think that can't get it, that doesn't get into your head, you know, like, that's just what a game for him. So I give my game balls to kind of these heroic efforts, what I consider to be heroic efforts, getting over the things that have happened in the background and going out there and performing like that.
All right. And we're going to call it right there. The next time we talk to you, we will preview Bills, Dolphins, Thursday Night Football. We will do that on Wednesday. That should be a lot of fun. Big game.
Mm.
Bills. I don't know if you want to say something about this, but I watched that game. That game was a Kyler Murray eyesight away from winning. He missed a wide open Marvin Harrison for the game winner. Okay, and that's the game winner. There's 27
yeah, he was,
in the game.
He was Tecmo open. I know. I saw that play.
Okay, and that was the game winner. And it's not like Kyler Murray is one of these guys who, oh my God, you know, it's like moving a battleship around. No, he's pretty nimble. He could set his feet and he could get rid of the football. So the Bills almost lost in spectacular fashion. But no, it'll be a 1-0 team versus a 1-0 team for the lead in the AFC East on Thursday, and we will talk about it on Wednesday. See you then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
This message comes from McCormick & Company, committed to enhancing people's health, their communities, and the planet. McCormick, healthy, sustainable, delicious. To learn more, tap the banner on your screen or visit McCormickCorporation.com/futureofflavor.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.